Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where it is close to sunset and the colors are magnificent. It was a warm, warm day, and people were out, and so was I. We've got a lot to talk about today, so I want to kind of get cracking. This is an interesting time in American history. We have a president whose approval rating is in free fall. He's been caught in a major lie, one that adversely impacts millions of people. They like to say, well, this is just 5% of the population. Well, that's upwards to 15 million people. But more than that, these are 15 million responsible people who have their insurance. And the only reason for Obamacare to begin with was to cover the uninsured, which are 30 million. So instead of having insurance for people that aren't insured, we now have people who were insured who are now not insured. And this has nothing to do with what's going on with the major companies, because Obama slipped that past the midterm elections. Now, the problem is that he was very clear about his deceit. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your health care policy, you can keep your health care policy, period. It was unequivocal. And he said it repeatedly. And he used it to sell the whole Obamacare Affordable Care Act, which is an oxymoron, to not only the American people, but to Congress. As you'll remember, if you think back to 2010, when Nancy Pelosi had control of the House of Representatives, as did Harry Reid and the Democrats have control of the Senate, they still had a tremendous battle, Obama did, to get this path, to get this to where the people in Congress were willing to do it. You know, he had to essentially buy out Mary Landrieu, who is up for re-election now in Louisiana. They call that the Louisiana Purchase, and Ben Nelson, who has that horrible toupee, in order to get his vote in Nebraska, they had to just say, "Well, people from the period." And so we had all of these things that were done, and the very last thing that happened was the promise by Obama to the Blue Dog Democrats, who did not want federally funded abortions to be part of Obamacare. And Obama promised that that would not happen. And the leader of the Blue Dog Democrats, which are the conservative Democrats, they don't even exist anymore, but this was kind of their death knell, was Bart Stupak, who is in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. And he finally bought off on Obamacare, and there were like five of them. And from there, they went ahead and said, okay, they would vote for it. And that gave them the majority that they needed in the House of Representatives, and just exactly what they needed in the Senate, so it was passed without one Republican voting for it. Not one. In either House. It's almost unheard of that you have a major legislation where there is not someone from the opposite party that supports it. But the Republicans were, 100% against it and said that they would absolutely not support it, period. Now, came law when he signed it at the end of 2010, and fast forward all the way to the fall of 2013, 3 years later, when it was supposed to go live, and then here we have this enormous problem with this website. Now, in my business, I've had websites, for years, and I cannot imagine how you could spend $634 million on a website anyway. I mean, that's just enormous amount of money. But they did it, and what do they get for it? I don't know. It doesn't work. And in it, they say that, that you're supposed to give them all of their all of your information. And then they assert that you should have no expectation of privacy. Would you do online banking where you said, well, I'll transfer money here, and the bank says, well, you have no expectation of privacy? Nobody would do that. There would be no online banking. You'd be inviting identity theft all over the place. Now, I have been victimized by identity theft one time. It was someone from Indonesia, and they got into my banking records. They got into everything. And I had a dickens of a time turning things around and getting that, squared away. It was a mess. And if this happens to even 1% of the people, 1% of 7 million, which is what they need to even kind of get the thing off the ground, is 700,000 people. Is that 10%? Maybe it's 70,000 people. That's a bunch. At any rate, it's a mess. And it's something that can't get going. Now, in all of this, Obama, because he's been caught in a lie, and because he has told the American people unequivocally, and then goes back, and when he does his little mea culpa and apologizes, it's, well, I'm really sorry that you're in this problem, and I'm going to let you skate for a year, which is so self-serving because it just goes past the elections because he doesn't want to lose the Senate like he lost the House over Obamacare, and he would have, and he still probably will, because people are now seeing through him. And here's the thing. Half of America hasn't liked Obama from day one. There are millions of people who don't trust Barack Obama, period, including me and my brother Richard, who's on the line now, who just came on.
Are you berating Barack? Is that what we're doing?
We're berating Barack. Is there anything that Obama could do that would make you trust him and support him?
Trust him, no. Support him. Well, if he said those two little words that would make me feel a lot better, it would be, I quit. But I don't think he's going to do that either.
Well, he's not going to do that, that's for sure.
No.
But millions of people that are like us, and there are, don't believe him. We don't believe he's honest about anything that he's ever done. We don't trust him not just about Obamacare, but about Benghazi, about Fast and Furious, about the NSA scandals, about his support for Israel. All of these things and many, many, many more, and the massive debt that he has put us in, mean that we just do not care for this guy. Go ahead.
I heard of another one today, and it's not about Barack this time. It's about Michelle. And the person in Canada who is the CEO of the high-tech firm that is setting up the website was Michelle's roommate at Princeton. And she worked for another company. I can't remember at this point what it was, but the Canadian government went after her because she was over budget in something that the Canadian government was involved in by $100 million. And, of course, Obamacare is over by, what, $600 million, something to that effect. But there, this was a no-bid contract that was given to this Canadian company. And it turns out that the CEO was Michelle Obama's roommate in college.
Also, as part of this team, is Valerie Jarrett's daughter in that same company in Canada, and Valerie Jarrett's son-in-law. So this is nepotism, fully operational in Canada, and what's even worse is that they screwed it up for $634 million, and they're the ones that have the job of fixing it.
Yeah.
Which is and they're not doing that for free. So the cost for this website is going to be over $1 billion. Now, the Canadians who had hired them to begin with to do some of their work, when they got way over budget and screwed up everything, had the good sense to fire them. But not us. So that is all part of it. Right. But now, hear me out a little bit about this, because the topic of the day essentially is, can Obama turn things around? Here's the deal. People like us, and there are millions of us, probably 40% of the population, literally, don't trust Barack Obama, period. Now, there are, you know, another 20% or 25% who, no matter what he does, will trust him.
Because they're on the dole.
Well, they're on the dole. They're black, you know, gays, the limousine liberals. You know, there are certain groups that no matter what are going to support him. Labor unions, although they've been a little iffy here, you know, recently.
Yeah.
But there are people that are going to support him no matter what the progressive ideologue. I mean, they're having a webinar with Obama tonight in which he's going to just try and rally his troops, you know, to go out and character assassinate everybody so that Barack looks, even if Barack doesn't look good, everybody else will look equally bad. That's the best that they can hope for now. But here's the thing. In the polls now, I mean, he has, since, I guess it was, you know, it turned around in, May, or at the end of May, his approvals, his disapprovals kind of went the other direction from his approvals because, you know, back in December, after he won the election, he had 54% approval and 42% disapproval. That's pretty good. Now, as of today, his disapproval is 54.3, and his approval is 41.3. That's a 13-point gap on the Real Clear Politics. Now, in all of the recent, every single poll that is out there now has the spread in double digits, and there are three of them, Quinnipiac, National Journal, and Pew, that all have his approval below 40%. Now, those aren't people, he isn't losing people like us. That's a long time ago. He's losing people who are in the middle, who want to believe the President of the United States. I mean, everybody does. I mean, we want the President to be right. We want, you know, all things considered, I can't think of many things more distasteful than berating the President of the United States. It's not something that is, I mean, we don't want to be like that, but we have to, because he's a con and a fraud and a liar and many other things. But my point in all of this is that he is losing young people who, you know, the whole spying thing, they want nothing to do with that. And they're the ones that are losing their health care, and they're the ones that are going to have to be paying. I mean, you know, kids that are 22 years old having to pay an extra $3,000 a year for their health care, and, you know, say, how do you do this? I don't know. And they can't even do it. All of that to take care of people who have been off of, you know, who are uninsured. Now, my point, which was originally yours, let them just go with this and let the American people have a good taste of what socialized medicine really is and of what socialism really is, and all of them personally. Now, the thing that, I mean, I've wondered why it has taken this long for people to start really seeing through who Obama is. But it's because, you know, he was giving them food stamps. He was giving them phones. You know, he was, you know, giving them, huh?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
He was giving them phones, giving them, you know, food stamps, telling them that they were going to be able to have, you know, health care cheaper than what the average, you know, that you're going to save $2,500 a year. Well, it's costing people more than $2,500 extra a year. And now, finally, this is hitting people where they can see the actual numbers and how it impacts them. And it's kind of like, you know, they pay, when they pay all the bills at the end of the month, you know, they have $300 left. And now when they've got this Obamacare thing, it says when they pay all of the bills and Obamacare, they're $200 in the hole instead of plus $300. And they're just like, what? What? He said he's, and they're holding him finally to the feet about his lying. Now, I think that because his approval rating is now slipping in the 30s, that the press, which is turned on him a little is going to turn on him a whole lot. And what do we have to thank, you know, who do we have to thank for all of this? Partially we have Bill Clinton. Because he was, I mean, he's the most reputable Democrat alive. And he said, I think Obama should keep his promise to these people. And now, you know, with this whole thing, well, we're going to do this for a year. You can have your old policy. And the insurance companies are like, you know, we've been busy, you know, tooling up to make the change, the changes to comply with Obamacare. And now you want us to go back for a year, you know, to save your sorry derriere and make us look bad. And, of course, there's, you know, nobody wants to be on the side of the insurance companies. And, I mean, I get that. But people are beginning to see, you know, that there's no leadership from Obama. It's just what he is good at is blaming others, deflecting, and taking credit where no credit is due. Let me give you an example of that. The all of these new oil, this, you know, oil fracking, where they've figured out ways to get more oil, and now all of a sudden, instead of us being, you know, dependent on Saudi oil, within a couple of years, despite Obama and his bull, we're going to be fully energy independent of the Middle East. And now he's taking credit for that. Well, look at it. This is, you know, I've done this. And he's done nothing. This is all stuff that's been done on private land and, you know, and the American spirit and ingenuity has figured out a way to do something. And now we are just, you know, in for a boom of unprecedented proportions and screw it up, which, of course, he'll do his best to because that's what he does. At any rate, I think all of this said, the scandals are going to come back and people are, you know, are not afraid to criticize him anymore. The press is not, is not just going
you're
to sit
around. You're not prejudiced now, you mean. You're not prejudiced now if you berate Barack.
You know, it really is funny. And, you know, there are a lot of people that were critical of me, you know, from 2008 on, you know, for taking such a strong stand against Obama. But, you know, I've known what he's like. And, you know, there are other things, you know, internationally, you know, we are on the decline in the world as in our influence. These nations sat there a year ago when Obama said, you know, that it was that YouTube video, of anti-Muhammad video that caused the Benghazi attack 2 weeks after the attack, when they knew, and it has come out that they knew. So he lied to every nation in the world, boldface, just like he lies, you know, about everything else. And he's very believable when he lies. He's a good liar. I'll give him that.
He's good at it. He's been at it for a long time.
He's been at it a long time. That's exactly right. But
yeah.
Now, you know, things are going to change because he cannot, he's wounded politically. It was like, you remember some of those, do you remember that movie, The Matrix?
Absolutely.
When Mr. Anderson.
Neo. Oh, Mr. Anderson.
When he was on the roof at the end, and they were shooting bullets, and he was just, you know,
moving out of the way,
and he dodged everything and was couldn't be hit. And the, you know, the men from the company, when they saw what who he was, they dropped their guns and they ran. Well, see, this is what Obama's been like. He has been almost immortal politically. People have been fearful of criticizing him, and those that do, you know, are their characters so badly assassinated that, you know, their credibility is gone. I mean, that's what happened with General Petraeus and that whole thing, you know, so that as the head of the CIA, you know, he didn't, you know, he did not want to lie about Benghazi, and, you know, they absolutely just tore him to pieces to where now, you know, he is, you know, he's a laughingstock. And that's what they do. That's changed. And with, you know, with the approval rating in the 30s and the disapproval in mid-50s, we've already got a lame duck president 1 year afterwards. His whole thing about amnesty, where he wanted to, you know, to essentially give free stuff as citizenship to 30 to 50 million people, which would ensure that the Democratic Party won every election from in the foreseeable future, is dead. There's zero chance that that's going to happen. He does not have the support in either house for that, and he doesn't have the muscle to impose his will. Even more, the French foreign minister, you know, went to Israel today or yesterday, and he was greeted with a hero's welcome. Big thing, because the French are the ones that held the ground and said no to this bad deal that Obama and John Kerry want to give to the Iranians so that the Iranians get a nuclear bomb, which they say they're going to, you know, use on Israel. And the French said, no, this isn't right. You aren't, you know, we don't have enough verification that you're going, you know, that you're not going to use this enriched uranium for a bomb, you know, for us to, you know, for us to take away, you know, all of the economic sanctions against you. Israel, you know, knows who Obama is. The Saudis and the Gulf states and Egypt, none of them trust him. We've lost our credibility in the Middle East. At any rate, those are all the negative things that are happening, and my purpose in this whole program was to say, I don't think Obama can do anything to turn it around because there's the people that don't like him, or there's so many. Number one, number two, you have to have some skill in order to be able to do it anyway, and he doesn't. I mean, he's incompetent. All of that's on the negative side. On the positive side, the Patriots play tonight, and we're looking forward to a win as this program comes to an end. Is there anything that you'd like to say before we say goodnight, Richard?
God bless America.
Yes, and God bless the Patriots, and whom we hope win. And listen, so thanks, Dick, and I'll talk to you later, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.